We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're drafting an underdog Best Ball Mania 3 squad on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Curtis Patrick, joined by Dave Caban. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz.com. We've been talking to you for a couple of weeks about our exciting new partnership with Underdog. You can get up to 100 free Underdog dollars with your deposit, your first deposit of up to $100. Just use code RotoViz at signup at UnderdogFantasy.com. And Dave and I are drafting the winning Best Ball Mania 3 squad on today's show. Dave, give us an overview of how this draft has started. Like, what's our draft spot? What are our first two picks? We can talk a little bit about the contest. And as the draft advances, talk a little bit about roster construction, some of the new tools that we have on the site. And just share our thoughts on player selection by round.
Yeah, definitely. So this draft started off with us being in the seventh spot. So it went Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp, CMC, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Austin Ekeler. I love to get Jefferson, Chase, Kupp, any of those guys, Jonathan Taylor, in my start. That wasn't an option. So what I wanted to do was see how we could construct this team if we did go and take a back in the first round. I think that that's going to be a configuration that listeners would be interested in. So I went ahead, took Derrick Henry. Then when things came back around to us, the best back on the board at the time was Alvin Kamara. Other backs that were there, you would have had guys like Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb, but we wanted to go wide receiver. We liked Tyreek the best out of those receivers at the time. We're going to be back on the clock in two picks. I'll point out that the tight ends that have gone at this point were Travis Kelce, and then Mark Andrews went before we were up. So that's kind of the basis of where we are. We're actually going to be up on one pick. We just saw the first quarterback go in Josh Allen, and then Saquon Barkley was just selected too. Last wide receiver selected was Deontay Johnson.
Okay, so let's get our list for the 3-7 here. We've got a 1-1 construction. We just went on the clock. Mike Williams, Los Angeles Chargers, goes at 3-6. We should be pretty wide open. Looks like the top available backs by ADP are Nick Chubb, James Conner, Cam Akers. Top wide receivers by ADP are Jalen Waddle, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore, DK Metcalf. And tight end, we're going to have Kyle Pitts available here still.
So we got 8 seconds. So I would still...
I want to go Pitts.
It's... Oh, boy.
Yeah. Did you get it?
I did not get it. We got stuck with Nick Chubb.
No! All right. All right. We were so busy building. We're so busy introing the show that we did not build our queue. So we got to start doing that for round four. We get Nick Chubb there at 3-7, timing out on this 30-second clock in the live draft.
Well, can I just say one thing? This would not have happened if I were on my phone. It's much easier to select players very quickly on the phone other than like podcasting using your computer. So I just want to point that out to people. That's not something that normally happens for me ever on the phone.
Okay, let's start building a queue for round four.
Yep.
We're into an RB heavy start in a way that we typically neither one of us would do. So this would be a fun exercise. Mm-hmm. We can get into the underdog roster construction explorer and find a way to build a profitable squad here. So we get Nick Chubb at the 3-7 on auto draft. I actually don't mind that. I mean, Nick Chubb, you're going to see go at the 2-3 turn in a lot of drafts. And you know, he's going to have some monster games this year. You know, if there is a Deshaun Watson suspension, at the beginning of the year, I would expect the team to lean heavily on Chubb, you know, in the Jacoby Brissett month or month and a half of the season. And, the team's going to be better no matter what. So I would expect increased touchdown scoring opportunities for Cleveland all year. And that does figure to be Chubb. So I don't think it sinks our draft. It's probably not what we would have preferred to do there. I would have liked to have the elite tight end. Okay, so let's add some players to the queue. We got about five picks to our up.
Yep.
We'd love to go wide receiver here. Who's the top available by ADP? We've got Terry McLaurin, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton. I'm not interested in a Denver receiver this early, probably.
I don't think I'm very interested in McLaurin either. I'm probably here kind of leaning actually like Juju or
MT. I think we can get them in round five almost. Who's available at quarter? We may have to go early quarterback.
I've been going early quarterback a lot. I actually wouldn't mind. I almost would rather go with like Mahomes or Herbert or Murray or somebody like that here. Maybe even, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. And we've got tight end. I mean, is Kittle still here?
Yep. Kittle's still there.
Okay. So, I mean, I think it's fair to consider Kittle. And I agree. I like the early quarterback too. And then we'll start playing with the roster construction explorer.
Yep.
So for me, it would be Kittle or a choice of early quarterbacks. Still only what? One quarterback off the board? Two. Lamar Jackson just went.
Yep. Yep.
Thinking about stacks in round five and six here, we have a path to stack Mahomes, not a good path to stack Herbert with Allen and Williams both off the board already.
Yep.
Who's available after Herbert? Who would be the next QB by ADP? We do have Kyler. Is Marquise Brown gone yet?
Marquise Brown, I do not believe, is gone. I actually have stacked them up already one time, which was pretty nice.
It looks like he is gone.
Oh, no, he is gone. All right. That's probably becoming popular.
That's unfortunate.
So we have 18 seconds here. So I am leaning.
Let's go Mahomes.
Let's do it.
Let's go Mahomes. That's good value here. We're getting almost a, what did we get? Half round of value there. His ADP is about 36 right now. We get him at 42. Don't mind it.
And then I had talked on the show, not to cut you off there, last week about how important quarterback actually is and how even getting your first two quarterbacks earlier than many people would expect has actually been a pretty profitable strategy. So I don't feel bad at all about that.
Yeah, typically we'd want a little bit of the rushing upside, but getting Mahomes as QB, we get him a QB 3 or QB 4 here.
I think it was QB 3.
QB 3 in round 4. I mean, he still is one of those guys with the 50 touchdown upside, so I don't mind it. And there's lots of, the thing that is appealing more about Mahomes is you don't have to go, you know, last year was so expensive. You had to go Tyreek or Kelsey in round 1, followed by Mahomes in round 3. Now we can lead with Mahomes. We have all different types of ways to stack it, except for Kelsey.
Yeah, and it's looking like it's actually, I think, possible that Juju could somehow slip to us here. 8 picks away, he's the 7th wide receiver, I believe, by ADP. So it could happen. Now, if you're looking at tight ends, it's interesting, Curtis, you still have Kittle and Hawkinson hanging around, which I think would be the two tight ends that would remain in that conversation of if you're trying to procure one of the tight ends with the potential to be a star, it would be those two, I think.
Okay. Filters.
So as this is moving along, I'm just going to read off some of the top players that are available. And right now, this draft is in the start of round 5. So the type of guys that you're seeing available at running back, David Montgomery, J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs. At wide receiver, it's Godwin, Judy, Sutton, Robinson, Gabe Davis, Juju still. At tight end, the players that are available, you'd have Hawkinson, Schultz, Goddard, Knox. So Kittle did go. I think that you're looking at a tier break among the tight ends right now. At wide receiver, I don't think that there's a major tier break on the horizon. At running back, you might argue after like Montgomery and Dobbins and maybe Gibson, there's a small tier break. And then at quarterback, you have Kyler and then Jalen Hurts, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. So I think there is a tier break there.
Yeah. What's really interesting, looking in the roster construction explorer, I'll try to be quick because we only have two picks before we're up.
Yep.
Teams that selected their QB1 last year before round five and their RB2 before round five, there were 159 teams that selected only three running backs on their entire squad. And they had a 0.63% finals advance rate.
Wow.
That's like, it's like, you know, five times. Now, seven RBs also had a 0.34. All other iterations had less than a 0.2.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting. We could either, so that's telling me we could either wait a long time before RB3 and hammer it at the end of the draft with seven, or we could go basically back into a robust RB draft tier with three in the first five rounds and then not select another one. I kind of like, I don't really want to commit to that yet. What do you think about Michael Thomas here with 15 seconds left? Or do you want to go Juju and stack it with Mahomes? Your call, 5 seconds. He goes Juju. You're on mute, Dave.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. We lost you there for a second. Okay, so we selected Juju to get them home stack. I think that's fine. That gives us some flexibility to add other Kansas City pass catchers later, and Thomas could slide to us in the sixth round. What was your thinking there on Juju versus Thomas? You just want to secure the stack?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to secure the stack. I had actually, on the episode that I recorded last week, towards the end of the week without you, we looked at some stack stuff. So I thought it'd be fun to add in a stack since we had looked at that. And I also think that there's a fair amount of upside there. Now, you would have upside with the Michael Thomas play, which perhaps is higher than what you would get with that Juju pick. But I do like the element of the stack. So I think that that's one of those things that can kind of counterbalance some of the way that this start didn't go exactly as we might have imagined, but we're working within it now.
Okay. Okay. Looking forward to the next round. I think in terms of potential target hogs that remain, Michael Thomas would be on the list. Darnell Mooney would be on the list as a potential target hog. Scrolling down a little bit more, you like the touchdown upside of a Treylon. And that's really, I think that's the list for me right now at wide receiver in round six. Tight end, is Hawkinson still here? I think we can consider that. He really was a huge target hog before he got derailed mid-year. He's probably my in-house favorite. We're going to overdraft him around by ADP, but that doesn't bother me. And then are any of the running backs, those kind of tier two running backs, are any still available? We have ETN. Yeah. You could argue that ETN and then a tier break, or depending on what you think about Josh Jacobs, who's kind of sort of becoming a value as long as he doesn't lose all his receiving work. But as more and more drafts are occurring, it seems like his ADP has climbed about a half a round in the last week. So
Jacobs at 61 has,
I'm not as interested at 61 as I was at, you know, 71.
Right. Cause I was going to say it had seemed to me like people were kind of forgetting him about him a little bit too much, especially in an offense that could see some improvement in the coming year. So I was a little bit higher, but you're right. As we start to see that creep up, he becomes less of a value. Now, ETN, right? We're kind of at the point where you're still in this running back dead zone. And I would say that ETN is a guy that falls into that area this year. Do you think he's a player worth kind of breaking our typical mold and going after him here? As you said, that there may be like a tier break after.
If we get boxed out of Thomas, Mooney, and Hawkinson, I don't have a problem because I see those all three as potential elite target getters at their positions. Yep. And then after that, I feel like now we'll be at that tier break in those positions. So I wouldn't mind like hypothesizing ETN just never coming off the field. Now, thank you to T Main, who took that decision off the board for us and also guaranteed that we'll get one of our targets here.
Nice.
Okay, so it's pick 66 by Applet ADP. Thomas is going to be a pretty big value here with a 59 ADP current ADP year to date. Mooney at 66 would be right dead on, and we would be overdrafting Hockenson by about a round. What are your thoughts here on these three players? I'd be thrilled with any of the three. I want to hear your argument.
Well, I think last time you were pretty interested in Thomas. I think the fact that he's here does provide a way to get a lot of upside. And then one of the things I was looking at last week too was if we wait a while and then just toss three tight ends onto this team, doesn't really matter who they are. That's still a pretty decent strategy. So I kind of like the idea of going after the Michael Thomas here, just trying to chase that tremendous volume. What do you think?
Yeah, let's lock it in. The other argument for that is there's a non-zero chance that we still get Hockenson in round 7.
Yep.
Just slightly below ADP. So we'll have to see how the draft plays out. Don't mind that. So let's run down the team so far. We started Derrick Henry round 1, Tyreek Hill round 2, accidental timeout pick of Nick Chubb in round 3. And then we had Patrick Mahomes in round 4, the stack with Juju immediately in round 5, followed with Michael Thomas. So the top three wide receiver spots are filled here with Tyreek, Juju, and Thomas. Top two running back slots are filled. So in terms of like filling out, you know, obviously it's the best ball, but in terms of filling out a lineup, we have relative balance so far, especially if Hockenson were to fall to us next round. That would be pretty exciting in terms of the balance. We could go any direction we want.
Definitely. So just to give an idea of what the teams around us have done, because I always find it interesting. Team 6 went Austin Ekeler, Mike Evans, Mike Williams, Justin Herbert, and Darnell Mooney. Team 8 went Diggs, Swift, Waddle, Metcalf, Dobbins, Drake London. When you think about our squad compared to those, do you think those are all, you know, pretty similar, or does one team stand out amongst the three?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
I mean, of the teams on either side, I like that. What is it? Never Let It Rest has also has a stack with Williams and Herbert. I think they drafted Antonio Gibson in that dead zone. Don't love that pick, but I really don't mind how they started. It's a little aggressive on Mike Williams, but again, they play in the stack. Mike Evans, I think, is a nice value pick in round 2. You know, with Brady coming back, the question mark about will Gronk play? If Gronk doesn't play, I mean, the touchdown upside for Evans, which is already sky high, could really be exciting this year. So I don't mind what that squad has done. I would question in half PPR the idea of going Ekeler over Henry and Harris, but because he has that big Charger stack going on, right. I don't mind it quite as much. And I actually just... So that team maybe would worry me in terms of being in the middle of the draft. Our chances versus that team. don't like quite as much what Seoul Export 95 has done, getting team wide receiver two and Waddle, potential team wide receiver two and DK Metcalf, building the team that way. And then what's the wide receiver three, Drake London as the rookie, potentially really high target upside, but again, another team number two option there. So I feel like beyond Diggs and Swift, I like our draft a little better.
Yeah, I agree. And then I also think that with that team at eight, that Seoul Export at this point being out of the ability to get...
Hey, flip back to our queue. We're one pick away.
We got to start. So actually, let's look at that. Then we'll think about that later. So at tight end, it's Dalton Schultz. We're on. So I think already I'd be looking at wide receiver here. Obviously, we're not going to go Hopkins. There's Thielen, Renfro, Lockett, Olave, Garrett Wilson, Christian Kirk.
And then running back, we have...
Sanders, Patterson, Edwards-Helaire, Damien Harris.
I kind of like Thielen here with the touchdown upside.
Yep. And then actually, Curtis, in the episode that I recorded last night, you've hit upon two of the players that were interesting findings in the FFPC stat attack that we had, which were if you were looking at players that had been the most efficient in the last 2 years on touchdowns or targets per touchdown, Mike Evans and Adam Thielen really have dominated in that, seeing a touchdown, something like between like every 8 to 10 targets scoring a touchdown. So you're absolutely right about the touchdown upside there.
Yeah. I mean, Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen have really impressive chemistry on high value plays there. And then, you know, the offensive strategy switch this year in Minnesota is going to be interesting to see what Kevin O'Connell does with the offense. We know it won't be an exact mirror of what LA does, but I'm sure there will be some LA tendencies. You know, I look at how exciting it was to watch Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods the last couple of years in LA, and then to see others step in. Even after Woods' injury, we saw Odell Beckham be pretty productive despite not having a lot of time to learn the system. We saw Van Jefferson have many breakout games. So I like the idea of Thielen and Jefferson still maintaining the floor they've had in previous years, but potentially even unlocking some more ceiling if the team goes to more of a game neutral pass heavy attack, game script neutral pass heavy attack. So I like Thielen for a bounce back year. You know, we just have to watch out for the injury bug with him as he ages, but we're not depending on him. You know, he's much cheaper this year than last year.
Yeah, definitely. So we are going to be back up in five picks. So I think we should start working on the queue. I think as far as quarterback goes, I think we're good for another round or two before we'd start looking at getting the second quarterback. Running backs currently, it's Patterson, Damien Harris, Kenneth Walker, Tony Pollard, Kareem Hunt. At wide receiver, you have Lockett, Olave, Wilson, Christian Kirk, Russell Gage, Robert Woods, Michael Gallup, Alan Lazard, and MVS, and then Chase Claypool. Tight ends, Dallas Goedert, Dawson Knox, Zach Ertz. So we're kind of at the point in the draft where you start to have, you're looking at it, the players are just a lot less exciting than they were. So I feel like we are definitely at that point. At this point, we have the two running backs. We have four wide receivers and the quarterback. I think we're probably waiting here to go after tight end. At least in my opinion, I think what we could try to do is wait and just put together three kind of lower level tight ends. But I don't know as far as the running back or wide receiver spot goes here, if there's one that structurally we would need to prioritize. I'm just kind of looking at the players that are there. Where's your mind at?
Yeah, the one tight end in the next 2 to 3 rounds that I think has an outside shot at being, you know, top three in targets at the position, just with what's happened within team context, would be Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. So I have a little bit of interest there. If we wanted to give ourselves an option of just going to tight end, and I'm not advocating for that necessarily, but we could go Goddard now. We just reach, you know, well, we wouldn't even be reaching on Goddard by ADP, and then we could reach around on Zach Ertz. If we wanted to go early quarterback, you know, we could be aggressive on Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers here, and then come back with Ertz around early, knowing that we've got our two elite QBs locked up.
I actually, so we were looking at some of these things in the roster construction explorer, and then the range of outcomes tool really likes Stafford. I'm actually almost interested in putting Stafford.
Let's go Stafford. Yeah, let's we got 10 it. Seconds. Let's go Stafford.
And that's a pick made just because of the lack of the players available at the other spots and how they would factor into this configuration. It's kind of a point where we can pivot, go a different direction based upon the fact that the type of players that are going to be available at the other spots, I think, are still going to be there. And there's not going to be much of a difference between what those spots look like now and what they will be when we're up again.
And it does give us the flexibility. If we decide to go three tight ends, we won't feel right. bad about not taking an extra shot on a wide receiver or running back late, knowing that we've got a couple elite quarterbacks tied up. Mahomes with the other thing I like with these two elite quarterbacks, super late season, buys. We've got week eight for Mahomes and it's seven for Stafford. I'm still trying to memorize all the team bye weeks. I don't think we have any compression issues there. At wide receiver, how are we looking? No overlap there either on bye weeks yet. So we have lots of flexibility there too. I like the idea of maybe going a little early on Ertz. Can we just put him in our queue so we don't forget?
Yep.
We could see Goddard slide. And if that were to occur, who do you like better between those two?
I mean,
their ADPs are vastly different, but I'm just curious. I kind of view them pretty similar, but I know some people still think Goddard's pretty exciting.
I do as well. I kind of think, though, that I'm expecting Arizona to be an interesting team this year with the way that they function. I actually think that I might prefer Ertz a little bit, which feels crazy if you go back a year or two ago to have that thought of Ertz kind of propping up his value a little bit to get back to that spot where I'd prefer him to Goddard, but that's where I am on that. And
he's one of the most incorrectly valued players right now. Like for Dawson Knox to be going a round and a half earlier by ADP than Zach Ertz just really doesn't make any sense in terms of, I mean, the overwhelming likely range of outcomes and opportunity. Ertz is going to be peppered with targets every week. Knox does have the touchdown upside, but he's at best his team's number four option in targets probably.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's the struggle there.
Exactly. And I mean, I think what it really comes down to, as you said, with the range of outcomes, if you look on that distribution where you would expect each of these guys to land, the way that those distributions overlap, it has to be fairly similar. And I think you could make a case that Ertz probably has more upside than Knox, given the context of their situation, because he could be in a spot where week to week, he's not relying on those touchdowns like Knox is going to have to.
Nervous. We're up in two picks and neither manager in front of us has their tight end yet. And Goddard and Ertz are the number two at the position by ADP. Man, I would be happy with either, but I've got myself worked up on Ertz now. Trey Lance goes 101 there. Never let it rest. We were given respect to this team a few minutes ago. Let's hope that this manager doesn't take Ertz from us.
Yeah, because woof. Oh boy, Goddard. They took Goddard. Oh, I love it.
Now we don't even have to make the ADP decision. Let's take Ertz.
Yep.
We've got that. I mean, I'm pretty excited about this now. Now let's start building a really big queue.
Yep.
And start talking about our double digit round strategy here. We may not come back to QB3 after going Mahomes and Stafford.
I don't think we will.
We went two running backs early. This is an area where I like to attack it in round 10 and 11. A player that I have a lot of exposure to in the post NFL draft best ball tournaments, both here on Underdog and at FFPC, is Chase Edmonds. So I'd like to add him to the queue. Devin Singletary could still potentially be a value. Melvin Gordon, I think, is a value here as well. Those are probably the three guys I'd be eyeing in round 10 right now. And then a little bit later, how do you feel about some of the lower draft capital rookies like Tyler Algier, Isaiah Spiller? Are you targeting them, or do you like a player like Daryl Henderson, hypothesizing that he, has already shown something, when he gets that opportunity?
Yeah.
How would you compare and contrast those three guys?
I would say that Algier, I probably, if I had to rank these guys, I'd probably go Algier, And then Spiller and Henderson, I have all of them very similar. I'd probably have a little bit more exposure to Algier just because it looks like there might be more of a clear path to him getting involved. Although I'm not even sure how much I feel about that statement, not having worked my way through projections yet, which I'm going to be starting soon. But I think that if you're going back to this whole idea of range of outcomes, they all feel fairly similar. So, you know, like when I'm looking at guys I can take at these spots in this draft, those are three of the names I'm going after. I'd much rather them than somebody like a James Robinson or a Nyheim Hines or like a Kenny Gainwell or a Raheem Mostert who are in that range. So I'm actually viewing those guys fairly similar. And they're three guys I'd be interested in backfilling my running back spots on some of these teams with.
Okay, so we're four picks away. We've really zeroed in on running back from round 10. We've got Edmonds, Singletary, and Gordon for this round. We're guaranteed one of them now, just three picks away. All three are on the board. Who is your preference of these three?
Probably Chase Edmonds.
Okay, so we've got alignment there. It's nice. You know, it's nice because if Miami does really get the breakout, you know, you figure that he is going to have some really exciting upside. And then, you know, when they are in that trailing position in those, you know, AFC East shootouts with Buffalo in particular, or potentially an ascending New York Jets offense, you know, Sony Michel will be the back getting scripted out with Edmonds still in the field. So, you know, really like that as a high upside, you know, RB3 on this squad. Freiermuth goes 10-4. All three of our running back targets still on the board. There's an auto pick situation. Jameson Williams goes 10-5. So that gives us Edmonds.
Yep.
We can leave these other two backs in our queue. Let's start talking, you know, wide receiver and tight end two.
Yep. Can I ask you very quickly, because I do think it's topical, Jarvis Landry going to New Orleans. Do we feel good about that? Do we feel bad about that? Or are we indifferent?
Oh, I mean, I don't think he's cooked. I mean, he really battled injuries last season. Still tried to play, probably threw it too much. And then obviously, you know, Cleveland just had kind of a nightmarish quarterback situation with Baker also trying to play through injury. I really just, you know, the whole Odell saga. I mean, Cleveland was just a total mess. Landry has a skill set. You know, we already drafted a player with somewhat of a similar skill set, and Adam Thielen. Similar role, even. I could see him being productive moving forward, but you know, the team also did draft Chris Olave to help push the ball downfield. I see Landry more as a hedge on Michael Thomas being able to have big volume, and or Alvin Kamara being suspended and losing that check down, you know, short range option for part of the season. So, like Landry, don't necessarily view him as a threat to a fully healthy Michael Thomas. It's more of a hedge play, in my opinion.
Got it. Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I think that this move away from Cleveland to New Orleans doesn't really move him too much in like the way that I would have viewed him. I still think he's going to be interesting where he's going if the ADP doesn't move, just as kind of that veteran that you can get into that roster that should find some times to contribute. But we should probably start to think about where we go here. So we have those running backs that we had mentioned in the queue at tight end. Yeah.
I'm salivating over Singletary falling just a little further.
You are
four picks away.
Okay, that's where you are right now.
We're gonna get him two rounds below ADP.
I think he just went.
He goes. Yeah, he just went.
Okay. Yep. All right.
I would have been kind of on just doing four running backs if he had fallen there.
Got it. So I don't think we're feeling that good with the other ones there to go with that strategy. So we still have those guys. Wide receivers right now would be Devontae Parker, Tim Patrick, Jacoby Myers, Dotson, Crowder, Landry, Pickens, Chark. Tight end, I know we had talked about waiting, but you do have Gesicki. He's probably the most interesting name of the players that are there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Mike McDaniel has already a proven track record of playing to a player's strengths. So I don't mind that. If we don't take him here, I'd probably be in for waiting on Cole Kmet a few rounds from now. But Gesicki does feel like the highest upside player. We have a kind of a whole hodgepodge of receivers with similar upside. And at running back, I mean, we're in like the penny. Yeah, let's go Gesicki.
I almost think we could go Gesicki here and then,
We could be done. We don't have to be done.
Yeah, let's see how it goes. Because, you know, one of the things I should say, and we talk about the lessons that you can take away from the roster construction explorer. I talked about it last week. Just because there's certain configurations that have the higher percentages, it doesn't mean that every team you do has to follow that particular configuration. I think the thing is, you take the lessons that you've learned, and as you start drafting teams, you continually apply those as you're building those different configurations, and that's where the payoff comes. So that's why we're still being flexible in these, and we could kind of pivot off and go with the two tight end approach here as things continue to develop. So at this point, let me just recap for everybody. We have Mahomes and Stafford at quarterback, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, and Chase Edmonds at running back. Wide receivers are Tyreek Hill, Juju Smith-Schuster, Michael Thomas, and Adam Thielen. Tight ends are Zach Ertz and Mike Gesicki. Also, Curtis, what round are we in right now? We are in round...
We're going to be making our 12th round selection.
Our 12th round selection. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what I think we could do here, Curtis, we're 33 minutes into it. Should we call it quits for this episode and then come back with another?
I think that makes sense.
All right. So we're very quickly going to sign off here. Could just give us a quick departure, Curtis.
Just want to remind everyone, you can play the Best Ball Mania 3 tournament as well at underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code RotoViz with your first deposit and get up to $100 matched on that deposit. And we're going to be talking much, much more about these underdog drafts as the summer goes on. And we'll also be doing some episodes of some of the exciting best ball tournaments over at myffpc.com. I'm 5 best ball drafts in over there as well. And just really obsessed with the format at this point. So plenty to come on best ball. We'll be back again with another episode to run down rounds 12 through 18 in this draft.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.